Good morning, church. So glad that you are here. So, we're doing something a little different this morning. It's Mark's first Sunday in sabbatical, and so we're changing it all up. We're going nuts. He's going to watch this, and he's going to immediately change his mind. No, I'm just kidding. This is something we've been talking about as a teaching team meeting. As we've been going over the journey, we've been talking about, we're going to talk about journey. We're going to talk about your faith journey and talk about what God wants to do in your journey. And what better way to do that than to talk about it with a couple people in the church. And so we have a group here. But before we do that, I have a question. How many of you guys are a driver or a navigator? Okay? You know what I'm saying? You guys know where I'm going with this. If you are a driver, raise your hand. Okay? Oh, we'll get there. If you are a navigator, raise your hand. Okay? Perfect. If you are both, raise your hand. There we go. If you're neither, raise your hand. There we go. So in our family, I am both the driver and the navigator. Becky does not like to drive. She'll drive, does not like it, but she will not navigate. Like, Google Maps does not work well with her. And so in our family, whether we're going across back home to Oklahoma or we're going to Ohio or across Ohio or going to Graders, I'm driving and I'm navigating. But one of the things, if you pull up your maps, in it, whether physical map or digital map, is you have to know where you're at, right? You have to know where you're at. That's one of my favorite functions of Google Maps is just typing nothing and just typing a location, and it says your location taking you to the place you're going to. I have three destinations saved. I have my home, I have the church, and I have AMC Dine-In Theater at Easton Town Center. Those are my three saved because those are the three places that I need to quickly get to. Is watching a movie with my family or at church. And so, but the best part is that you are here. And so your location. And so that's what we're doing today. And sometimes we don't, you know, we get lost. And so my goal today, as I have a conversation with the panel, we're going to get to know them. But my also goal is that you are encouraged by your own story. And so we're going to talk a little bit. You guys okay with that? You guys good with that? Great. And so, good morning. How you guys doing? Good. Make sure your mics are working. We're good. Good morning. All right. So testing. Tell us your name and tell us what brought you to Meadow Park Church. And Lodia, we can start with you. Tell us your name and what brought you to Meadow Park Church. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Lodia D'Angelo Foster, and I've been here for about 3 years. It started when I decided to put my daughter in private school, and I was told it was a Christian school, and I was told that she could not go in unless I attended church weekly. So I started, and after a month or two, I just started singing the songs, and I felt moved, and then I got baptized the following Easter.
And I am Lisa Osh, and I've been here 58 years, and I, of course, came with my parent. I know. Beat that, huh? Of course, my parents brought me, but then when I became an adult, it became a personal decision that this is my church, this is where I want to be.
Since 2019, we moved to Columbus in 2019, and we were looking for a church where we could get plugged in. And we knew somebody here by the name of Andy Chow, which many of you know. He's also over there. Look at that. And we were friends with him, and one thing led to another, and here we are. I play music up here. Angela greets, and it's been a great 4 or 5 years with you guys. So thanks for having us.
Yeah. And I'll introduce myself. I'm Pastor Tim. I'm the next gen pastor here. What brought me to Meadow Park was two years ago. We accepted the position as youth pastors. And so we're originally from Oklahoma. We spent 3 years in the Cincinnati area being a youth pastor there. And so, yeah, so we've been here for about 2 years. So I got the least amount of time here out of our group here. This is great. So talking about a journey, talking about ups and downs. We've been using the hiking metaphor, the Grand Canyon that Pastor Mark talked about last week. And so we're going to talk about ups and downs. We're going to talk about twists and turns, detours. And so all of you have told us that you've come to church, you believe in God. And so my question, and we'll start with Lodia here. Just Lodia, when did that relationship with Christ become real to you?
And Pastor Diane offered to lay hands for healing. I believe it was the Supernatural series, and Pastor Mark was talking about healing. And so I just thought I would try it and ask for healing because at that time I had just started getting seizures. So I have non-epileptic seizures that are not controlled by medicine. So if you see me walking outside a lot, taking the bus, that's why I don't drive. So anyway, I think that the seizures kind of brought me where I needed to be. So I think I have them for a reason.
Yeah. And so Jason, what about you? So for you, when did the relationship with God become real? Yeah, what I think is so important about the journey is that right there is important to talk about. When did it become real? That first day. But as we journey, right, there are times where if it gets challenging, it gets rocky, right? And so, Lisa, for you, what has been the most challenging part about following God? What's been the moment where it's been like, this is hard? And tell us maybe how'd you get through it?
That was my lowest point. I cried out to God and felt angry with God. Do I deserve this? Why are you putting me through this? They were the hardest days. We basically had no relationship with him for a couple of years. Those were my darkest days. Who got me through it? My family. And my church family, and my faith in God. Just because I felt like God wasn't hearing me didn't keep me from talking to him and to praying to him and asking him to heal our relationship and to be with Joshua. But that's what got me through. People here that could relate to what I was going through. They understood, and they loved me, and they prayed for me, and they would just let me know they understood, and that meant a lot.
For you, Matt, what's been some of the most challenging, most rocky parts of your journey?
I don't know if there's been a huge challenge. I can say that there have been steps along my faith journey where I maybe left the path a little bit. I lost focus, right? So I didn't become a Christian until senior year of high school. And I was not really raised in going to church or anything like that, but I had these questions about life, the universe, and everything, and I wanted some, you know, I wanted answers. And a friend of mine had invited me to church. With him, again, this was senior year of high school, I end up going to a Christian college in Kentucky the following semester. That didn't work out. I went to another, it was a state school, that did have a robust campus ministry active there, and I got really involved with those folks, and we would do skits, kind of Tuesday Night Live is what we called it. So it was Saturday Night Live, but on Tuesday, and we put on these skits and welcome the community. And Thursday nights we would lead, and I was one of the leaders of this Bible study that we would do for kids there on campus. And I was really, I think, on fire for the Lord in that stage in my life. Once I graduated and left college and started my career, I think it wasn't a struggle, but it was a time when I was more focused on work. I was more focused on, okay, this is my social life and this is my work life and this is, you know, all these pieces are in place, and I felt like I didn't have a need for God in my life at that time. Of course I did, but I was too focused on these other things. And as you pointed out, I was a statistic. This happens a lot at people, you know, in their 20s, and it ended up being a period where I stepped away from the faith, and I never lost it, but I was definitely not focused on the right things. And wasn't till met Angela, and we were both working in Kentucky and looking for a home, a church home to grow in our faith together. We didn't really find it until we didn't really moved up here. And this has been a big difference from past experiences where we felt like just an anonymous face in the crowd. We feel like we've gotten to know some people here and have made a tangible impact. And so it's really refocused, I think, both of our faiths and as we continue along the path.
There are times in our journey because there is use the word unfocused, or like gears away from God, or you don't feel like God's there or listening. And so there's a moment where you're like, you feel like you're the journey on your own. And so I'm just encouraged, Lisa, when you said that even though it felt like he wasn't listening, I kept on praying, I kept on talking. And for you, Matt, you know, even though I was away from God, there was still something there. There was still something there. And so talking more about challenging moments, Jason, what about today? And we're gonna get a little bit more personal, get a little more deep. But today, what is probably the most challenging part of the journey for you right now?
That's a great question, Tim.
that's why I asked it there.
On Jesus Christ. And so that, and seeing that in other people in this world and throughout life, you know, with the wars and everything that's going on, that's kind of hard. But I have a faith and a complete solid belief that Jesus Christ is sovereign, God is sovereign and in complete control. And what we see, we know how the story's going to end, trying to get there and seeing how it's playing out is hard. But knowing that we're not part of this world, we have a future home in heaven. So that's probably the hardest part. And just working through own selfishness is at times. I have a great partner in Jet. So she tolerates me, which is great. And so just being, I would say, equally yoked with her has been a blessing. Because we're both imperfect people. It might look like to the outside, like, oh, we got all the things together, you know, life by the tail. But at times, as many of us do, we struggle. And so knowing that while we love each other, our first priority is Jesus Christ. And I would say putting a knot in the rope and never letting go.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And so, Lydia, I ask you the same question. What's been the most challenging part of your faith right now?
Trying to be better. Mm. Trying to find grace. I pray for that a lot. Just leaving my old ways and, also, understanding the Bible has been tricky. Yeah, yeah. So I read the whole thing a couple years ago, and then I come back. And so I found some different books and some different older preachers that I've been reading to try to help me.
For sure, for sure. What's been that journey like, trying to understand the Bible? You said you read it all the way through. Yeah, what's been that journey like?
It's been really fun. Like, yeah. I really enjoy it, and I've know more to pray about, and I'll ask questions, and so I just feel like I'm interacting more with Jesus by reading the Bible.
That's good. So part of the journey, as you guys have been talking about, is those people in your life, right? That's what I love, that each and every one of you have someone that you are thinking about that was a part of your life, that helped you here, literally dragged you probably here to church, or has encouraged you with Jen and Carl and everything. And so my question for you, as we kind of navigate more about the community aspect of the journey, right? How important is it to you to be in close community with other believers, right? We're in front of a church. And so Lisa, for you, talk a little bit into that. Like, what the community around you, how important is that?
Extremely important. For example, when my husband and I were looking to buy our home that we've been in, we told the realtor, we'd like 3 bedrooms, 2.5 baths, but the most important thing is that it's within a 5-mile radius of Meadow Park Church, because this is my center. This is my home, my other home. I don't live here. Well, sometimes I feel like it, but I don't live here. I sleep somewhere else. But this is such an integral part of my life and of my marriage and of our family's life, that it was important for us to be physically located close by. I mentioned before that when I was struggling with understanding what God was putting me through or what I was going through, it was this community that I knew was praying for me. When I felt like I couldn't pray, all I could do was cry. This family supported me and prayed for me. It's important for me to be here every opportunity I can, because even though I've been here 58 years, like Jason said, I do not have it all together. And I have problems, and I have struggles, and I have doubts, and I have questions. And I can't deal with all that at home alone. But when I come here, and I'm able to worship, and I'm able to be with community, with people who are like-minded and have the same beliefs and values, it builds me up and strengthens me to be able to face the challenges that I face. So community is everything to me.
So, yeah. Lydia, I want to ask you the same question. So for you, how important it is to be in community with other believers?
So every other Sunday, I get to go to a life group, and it's actually led by Jason and Jen. And I look forward to that. I wish it was weekly. I've said that a couple times. But I really enjoy it because we talk about the sermons, and we also do like our prayers of what's going on, so that we have a safe space to share it. And it's also nice because we're all parents of tweens and teens, so we can kind of talk about our children a little bit and get some advice.
Yeah, I think on the stage here we have a couple life group leaders and a couple people who attend life groups, right? And so this is really cool. And so question, this is probably for all of us. I want to hear this personally, but also for all of us. When do you feel closest to God? Like, when is your mountaintop experience? When do you feel like this is the moment that, like, it helps me the most? This is when I feel close to God. Kind of give us your like, mountaintop.
Yeah. Ready?
Yeah. Let's go at the same time.
Okay. Ready? You want to sing it?
No. Oh. You go ahead.
Yeah, because yeah, I'll forget what I was going to say
go
if
for
I
it.
Don't go. I'm old, remember? See, I'm already forgetting.
Three off.
Oh, no, I know. When do I feel the closest? Well, it may seem strange, my answer, But it's on Sunday mornings when I am here in this sanctuary worshiping God and listening to somebody teach me or talk about God's word. I feel the closest to God. But on the same, at the same time, when I am at my weakest and my lowest is when I feel closest to God. And that may not make a lot of sense, but when I am broken, when I am hurting, when I am struggling, when I don't understand, when I don't have an answer, when I don't know the direction I'm to go, I feel very close to God because that's who I'm seeking, and that's who I depend on, and that's who I can count on. So it's on Sunday morning when I'm worshiping and praising God, but it's also when I'm at home in tears and not understanding.
I feel closest to, like, I'm walking the path I should be when I'm serving. So 10 minutes ago when we were playing some music, I felt, and it's a feeling that I don't even get when I'm, like, I'm singing along, but it's this moment of realizing I'm facilitating something that is creating worship for other people, and that's really powerful and really cool. A bigger taste of this idea of service is, I think the biggest mountaintop feeling I ever had was, I was on a mission trip to Haiti back in, this was like 2005. It was extremely eye-opening, as anyone who's been to a country like that knows, to see sort of what real poverty looks like and how blessed we are in this country to have all the things we do. And, you know, the work we did there, I mean, I felt like I got so much more out of that than anything I could give or provide. I also came back with this sense that, okay, my life's mission is to fix world poverty, full stop, across the board. And that might have been a little bit of a too ambitious of a goal, but I'm going on the Honduras trip this year, yeah. So tempering expectations this time around.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
I would say definitely on service projects that I've been on or mission trips, definitely mountaintop experiences. Worship here that Meadow Park has been awesome. Sunday morning singing and seeing or even listening to Jordan. Yeah. Disclaimer, I'm a crier, so.
In case you couldn't tell.
Just listening to her sing about God in our house, in our home. And her being a part of the youth worship and seeing Jacob and being involved in youth and a leader. That's some mountaintops. But being in the Word, I think we form a lot of times our own truth in our head from what we get from media and life and even people around us in our work environments. But going to the Word, I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but you know, you read a passage and then you come back to it months later and they've changed the words. And I'm like, I just read that, but how it speaks to you differently, you know? The word is living and it's active. And while worship is important and the sermons in here and hearing from Mark and the other people, if we're not in the word and getting God's truth, it's really hard to navigate. So to me, I steal Jen's BSF notes and read those. But being in the word and being in a group that is studying the word or talking about it is very important. So those are the mountaintops, as well as Lodia being in our group and others that, you know, are different parts of their journey in faith and seeing them. And Jenna, I feel very blessed, like, wow, you know, these people are being vulnerable and they're different spots. And so those are the mountaintop experiences for me.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. If you, Lodia.
Closest when I can feel the Holy Spirit like working in me. Sometimes I'll have some decisions to make, and if I'm leaning towards a decision and it just doesn't feel right, then I know that that's not right for me. And then if there's another decision that there's no doubt about it, I absolutely know. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is communicating to me because I have this overwhelming sense of peace.
I think my biggest mountaintop moment was sitting down there. It was the first time we ever sang the song, The Same God. And I really like to sing, but the exertion of it sometimes will give me a seizure. So I had to sit down. And I remember praying really hard, like, please give me the strength. I want to sing for you and I want to worship you, but I can't. So please help me. And I could actually feel the strength, like, growing in my arms. And I was able to stand back up and hold the chair and finish singing. And, like, it happened right away. So that was really amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Amen. Yeah. It's incredible. And so we're going to continue on a couple more questions, but I want to know a little bit more about how you live out your faith. And so we're all called on a mission from God. And so how do you see your role in God's mission to bring along others? So you're talking about your faith, your journey, your hot mountaintops. Now God's saying, bring other people with you. And so Matt, can you speak to just how do you do this? How do you help others help experience life to the fullest?
Yeah, I've never been one to be, you know, the guy on the street corner with the bullhorn screaming about things. And I don't think anyone else up here is either. But I try to live out my Christian walk in a way where I'm not, certainly not being pushy or certainly not judgy or anything like that, but just trying to be an authentic version of myself. You mean the second greatest commandment is like the first, and it's love your neighbor as yourself. And I try to like hold on to that, and treat all the people that end up in my life, as deserving of certainly my love and certainly God's love, and just sort of model what that looks like. Hopefully, some sliver of, you know, the love that Jesus modeled for us ultimately. I think that has manifested in, you know, interesting relationships with people who are different from me, people who are maybe have been marginalized by certainly the church in the past, and just trying to be that authentic version of Christ's love for us, for other people, not trying to convince anybody if they're not on board, but just show that what that love looks like and be there for them is kind of my goal, you know. And there are some people in my life that, you know, you get a challenging person, like okay, this person grinds my gears a little bit sometimes, even. Or like think, where are they coming from? But it's like still on us to like love them and be that, you know. And I think that's sort of the challenge, is to not. We were just doing a study in James in our small group about not showing favoritism to others. And I think that's the real challenge, is like we have to, you know, not just when it's easy, not just when it's somebody we like to interact with. We've got to bring the same level of love and intensity that we do with everybody. And so I'm not, certainly not perfect at that, but I don't know anybody who is, but that's sort of the goal.
I love it. I also love that I heard a couple of laughs and a couple when you said people that are challenging and sometimes I don't like. It's still our job to show love. I love that. Jason, same question for you. How do you live out God's mission to help others experience life to the fullest in your life?
I would say, first of all, it starts in our home. That's how I live it out, because we have two children that we're going to bring up, and they're going to go out into the world as well. And so we try to equip them as the best we can. And then in family, and then in the workplace, and that can be where it is challenging the most. As you said, you can have people that are challenging people. We ourselves are messy, and so sometimes when you get all that together, it's hard. But trying to be authentic, again, as I shared with Tim and Diane, sometimes, you know, how I react or handle a situation isn't the best, and then going back to that person and being authentic and apologizing and saying, hey, that's not how I wanted to treat you or act in this situation. That's not how I want to live out my faith and journey with Christ. So And then right now I kind of feel like a trail guide with Jen and in our small group, yeah. You know, helping to lead people along. Obviously we don't have all the answers, and so but it's fun to come together and be in the Word. So I think that's the biggest thing that is my goal, is to get into the Word, to show people this is Jesus Christ. He loves you. He wants to be in relationship with you. Do you want to be in relationship with him?
Man, I can keep asking you guys questions. I got one more quick question, but just want to say thank you guys for sharing. Like, thank you so much for doing this. I know some of you guys felt really comfortable doing this, Lisa, and then some of you guys felt...
I have one of these at home.
See? Some of us was nervous, and so I'm
do you have a podcast?
For my own personal sake, I appreciate hearing your stories, hearing y'all's life, and I know that hopefully it's encouraging others. We do have a lot of journeys in this room, right? We have a lot of people who have been doing this for a while. We also have some who are just getting started, some that are discouraged, some that just need a little advice. And so I want all of you guys to kind of give us a piece of advice, something you would say to someone here watching online that is stuck, discouraged, not sure whether to start the journey, just in that kind of beginning stage, or just in that middle of, like, I'm struggling right now, or just maybe some advice to keep going. And so, Lydia, if you would like, yeah, what's something you would say to someone?
Just start. just try, put your toe in and see what happens. I started praying, and I was afraid I was going to do it wrong, and I said, I hope you have a sense of humor, because I'm not sure if this is going to come out right. So just doing that, and there is just a huge difference. I've noticed that before Christ, I was kind of just surviving, but now I actually feel really alive and just fulfilled and on the right path. And I shared with you and Diane how before Christ, I didn't have the greatest amount of self-confidence, self-esteem, so I kind of found my worth in other people that weren't usually sincere. Now that Christ is in my life, I don't have to do that anymore. I feel like I'm a child of God, and so I was created with a purpose, and so I'm automatically worth, you know, I'm valued, and so that just keeps me going every day.
I would say show up. That's the first thing. You know, if you... Jacob's really big in the lifting and working out right now, but if he doesn't go to the gym, he's not going to grow. So just being here is a first step. Plugging into a small group and surrounding yourself with that community. If you are stuck or you're going through something, talk to the pastors. I definitely think that they're equipped to help guide you through or point you in a direction to get... the help that you might need. We all go through periods of time where we get stuck or we struggle, and having somebody in your life, or if you're forming those small groups, then you have somebody to go to when you need them most. And Jesus is always there. We're the ones that tend to pull away, but he's always there and he's faithful.
Well, so Lodia said, just start, and you said, just show up, and then I say, and don't quit. I've been here, as I told you, 58 years. I don't have it all figured out. I don't understand it all. I don't have all the answers. I don't understand everything in the Bible yet, and I really don't think I ever will, but I need to be here as often as I can, learning, growing, and trying to be more Christ-like so that I can make a difference out there in the world. So don't give up. When it feels like you'd rather stay home in bed, get up, and I promise you, you'll be glad you did. I promise you, if you get out of bed and you just come, you will be glad you did, because you'll be blessed and you'll feel better. I had another thought. See, wait a minute. I should have taken notes like you all did.
It's not my fault this time.
I know. Well, I know what it was. Get connected with, get connected. Don't just show up and sit and then leave. Because like we've all shared, we're all humans and we're all going to have struggles. We're all going to have hard times. And you need to have people that you can call at 2 a.m. That's what my mom said. She always needs somebody you can call at 2 in the morning. Get involved. Get in a small group. Get connected somehow so that you have that support system, so that when you are in the depths, you have people to lift you up and to hold you up. So show up and get connected. Now I'm done.
Tim, could you repeat the question?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I'm like focused on the right thing.
I know, you're good. Yeah, speak to someone in the room right now or watching that is feeling discouraged or stuck.
Yeah, well, what I can share is one of the things that got me discouraged and stuck early on is this whole idea of faith versus science, right? And that the two are somehow like oil and water and diametrically opposed or whatever. And I had a lot of questions, early on about, where did we come from and how does this all make sense? I still don't have all of those answers. I don't think we're supposed to, per se. I think what made the most sense to me, and I would encourage anyone to read, there's this guy named Francis Collins. He led the Human Genome Project, brilliant scientific mind, and he wrote a book. It's called The Language of God, and it's about his journey from being this a fervent atheist to understanding and synthesizing this worldview that, okay, this science that I work on isn't wrong, but also the Bible isn't either, and it's this close as I've come to anything to make sense of that. If anyone, has those kind of questions about what this crazy world we live in is, I'm not the right person to ask for answers, but I'm happy to talk to you about it and share anything that I've come up with. It's one of my favorite sort of topics to talk about, and I think it's a thing that a lot of people struggle with, have questions about, but are afraid to talk about in church. Come find me.
That's good. Give a round of applause to our panel here. Thank you so much. I think it's important for all of us to see the journeys, and it's cool to be reminded that over and over again the theme was, I'm not perfect, I don't have it all together, I'm still a work in progress. And I love that. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, and I wrote the Message version because it's just the way Eugene Peterson phrases it. He says, I'm not saying that I have all this together, that I have made it, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back.
Amen.
So I just love that. Amen. I just love that. So thank you guys for reminding us that God is on a journey. Nothing is wasted on that journey. And I hope that you guys are encouraged that God is at work in your life and that your journey, the twists and turns, the ups and downs, the mountaintops, the valleys, he's using it. So I'm going to pray as we continue to worship together. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for this incredible moment that we get to spend listening to stories of your faithfulness. Journey after journey after journey, we are reminded that you are a God that loves us, that never gives up on us, and that wants good in our life. And so, Lord, I pray that we are encouraged by these incredible people, Lord, but also encouraged by your word and your church and the scriptures, and just be reminded that you have created us on purpose for a purpose, and that our journey is right now. And so thank you for reminding us where we're at. Continue to push us forward, continue to use us in each and every way. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. We thank you that we're on this journey with you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.